Okay, there we go, everyone. Good morning. Very, very warm welcome to today's pre-market trade plan live session for Thursday, the 7th of November. Hope you're all keeping well. The whole idea of this session is for us to be as prepared as we can for those for today's trading opportunities. Good morning, everyone. Now, what a volatile and eventful last couple of days it's been for markets. There is still a high degree of these markets trying to digest and position themselves. We've seen an amazing reaction in equity markets. Ironically, the origin of the rally actually started 2 days ago, which is interesting because obviously we didn't really know the outcome of the election prior to that point. So there was there was a really strong risk-on rally prior to Donald Trump being elected. And of course, going into midnight on Tuesday the 5th, which was election day in the US, we still had no real clear outcome. It started to become a little bit clearer in the early hours of the morning. And of course, we saw an extended rally. So around major news events like this, we really want to have a broad understanding in terms of what we'd be looking to do under a dynamic like this. We have that very basic understanding that will navigate us a little bit through these turbulent times. We also have a very, very important news event later on today, the FOMC, which is likely to impact markets again. So we kind of want to take the opportunity to kind of explain the dynamics which are seemingly really quite changeable right now. So it's a difficult dynamic. Now, we can still have our particular bias in a difficult market dynamic. We can make steps to perhaps mitigate our approach somewhat until we get that distinct clarity. But there's a well-known saying that we often use is that markets can remain illogical far longer than you or I can remain solvent, which just leans towards being careful around trade frequency. So we had a few more opportunities to get into a couple of other trades yesterday. We kind of refrained from doing so because of a market dynamic like this, which may take a bit of time to ease itself out. So all profitable traders need to consider which markets to trade. We've got a really strong US focus because that's where all the action is happening. There is sort of correlations around the world, but it's all about the US at the moment. Where do we then enter and exit these markets? How do we manage risk? How do we manage each trade along with trend psychology? All very important features and considerations, and we discuss these every day in our live trade rooms. And we're consistent in our, or we try to be consistent in our approach, accurate with the levels we use, disciplined with our capital, and be patient as well. So let's have a look at today's, firstly, let's get up Forex Factory, and we'll have a look at today's news event. So it very much looks like we've got a red sweep. Donald Trump winning the election, the Republicans winning the Senate, and we're very, very close to the Republicans winning the House of Representatives, although he hasn't sort of got the numbers for the majority just yet, and that was last checked about 20 minutes ago. So we'll discuss that in a little bit more detail during the European Live Trading Mentorship Room, so we'll break it down. But we're very, very close to having a full-on red sweep across the US. I don't recall anyone or any analysts realistically suggesting this was a viable outcome. There was an awful lot of analysis, but don't really recall anyone suggesting that Donald Trump. So it's a surprising outcome. I think it surprised everybody. Don't know what you think yourselves. If you had a strong conviction that you thought Donald Trump was going to win, most people didn't. A lot of people were talking about, this could take weeks to resolve. Would Donald Trump accept if he lost? He probably wouldn't, because he's got these 34 charges hanging over his head. So from a resilience perspective, I don't know, it's quite impressive. Now, it does look as if Kamala Harris and the Democrats did whatever they could to mess it up. You know, going after Donald Trump as Hitler, and, you know, making references to those that vote for Donald Trump are garbage. You know, this is what Hillary Clinton did in 2016, you know, with the deplorables. You know, people are just awful people if they vote Donald Trump. Well, clearly Americans are really sick to death of that. You know, having tough economic conditions for a massive cohort of society, i.e. the lower paid, to be spoken to as if you're deplorable by the elitist who are very comfortable, you know, with manipulating markets and you know, taking advantage of the system as best that they can for personal gain. There's a distinct lack of disconnect, really, with the average person. And I have to say, you know, they've done it again. Kamala Harris, for whatever reason, or the advice she was given, sort of went down that same road. That was a stupid road to take. And let's see what a Trump presidency 2.0 will mean. But I think to liken it to Hitler is just a step way, way, way too far, because he's been in power for 4 years already, you know. And of course, Hitler was a warmonger. Donald Trump made decisions to sort of stay out of war. So it's really a bad choice of words, and you know, it shouldn't be difficult to attack Donald Trump. And they seem to have sort of focused on largely the wrong elements of that, in our opinion, and therefore they lose the election, and they've lost it quite impressively as well. So, with all this in mind, let's have a look at these Treasury yields, because they're telling us something very, very important. And thanks. And so, looking at the 10-year, we're now up at 4.4%. So this is obviously since. Let's have a look at the 10-year. So this is pretty much the lows are around the Fed cutting 50 basis points. This has rallied very, very aggressively prior to the election. It's rallying during the election, and it's rallying after the election. So the big question is why? With the Fed cutting 50 basis points, you'd expect, you know, these numbers to be down here. It suggests that it's kind of pricing in perhaps a Trump victory. I don't know how bond investors would be so confident of a Trump victory. But there is some built-in risk in these markets. So there's a risk-off narrative through the Treasury yields. We're still uninverted, if that's a good thing. We're not too sure anymore. And the markets are really looking at the FOMC now later on today. So from a fundamental perspective, these markets have a bit of a problem. If we just have a look at the charts just quickly before, this rally kicked in on Tuesday before we knew the outcome, and all we saw as the outcome started to reveal itself is this very, very sizable. It's not a bullish engulfing candlestick, sort of technically speaking, but it is massive and strong conviction, and that's a brave move, because we wouldn't be so instinctively convinced that a Trump presidency with a red sweep is going to be a massively positive dynamic for financial markets. If he does push through the policies that he is very much committed to. And the reason for that is most of his policies are inflationary. If you prevent migrants from entering the US, it puts pressure on wages, which is eats into margin. It has a direct impact on the cost of producing goods and services in the US. It's inflationary. If you have a dynamic where you're putting tariffs and people are paying higher prices, it's an inflationary dynamic. Now, some of that can be offset with tax cuts. It depends who gets them. Corporate or individual tax cuts. So the concept of tariffs are higher prices. They can be offset somewhat in the US due to sort of decisions around taxation. If you're paying less tax, you may be able to pay those higher prices. You have more disposable income, so it can have a benefit. The problem is a lot of these trade wars and tariffs, they're not just going to be one way. It's not just going to be the US imposing this on the rest of the world. Europe, for example, may retaliate, and I'm sure they probably will. So you have this building conflict, and the one thing about Donald Trump is he can be remarkably petty, and that's the market dynamic. So it's important for us as traders to be, I suppose, mindful about what we really want to trade and why we're trading in that direction. So we're currently in the process of a bit of a pullback across the dollar, it seems, after a strong move yesterday, which we were able to get involved in a part of that move. So there is your very, very bearish candlestick. And what we have, and it's a really good example, is the S&P rallying yesterday, which is risk on, but the euro dollar selling off, which is risk off. So you've got a risk on and risk off market dynamic. That's an illogical sort of market backdrop. Now, it might stay like that for a very, very long period of time. And we've been experiencing a little bit of this for quite some time as well. Look at the price action in the S&P over the last number of months. We have the S&P broadly rallying, and we have the dollar broadly strengthening. So we've had this now for 2-3 months potentially. So this is the illogical part of the market in real terms. This is what it means for us as traders. We have bond yield supporting the dollar. So the higher the bond yield goes, the more favorable that is that the dollar will strengthen. All of these policies around, obviously, if you cut taxation as well, if you talk about, you give people more money, that's all inflationary, because if people generally have more money, they generally spend more money. That was the dynamic around COVID, where the government were giving people checks. So all it does is dramatically push up prices. This morning as well, there was a very sort of interesting discussion with Donald Trump about interest rates. I think I'm not too sure exactly when it was, but it was probably over the last couple of months at some point. And he just referenced to his belief that the president of the United States should have control or some sort of influence over interest rates. Now, that would be leaning a little bit more to a kind of a fascist kind of state, really, supposed to maintain a high degree of independence, the central bank, to make sure that there isn't sort of deep corruption in that capacity, because obviously every president would prefer lower rates. It's more stimulative, it's better for the economy, And but it doesn't come without its consequences. You know, lower rates, stimulative backdrop, drive prices higher, which is not good for anybody. So it's a careful balancing act. Now, we're still comfortable being in the dollar. We're getting a bit of a dead cat bounce now as we look at these markets. But we don't necessarily, we'd still be in favor of the dollar if this just pulls back very aggressively. We'd still be looking for sell trades. The indices, we've got a bit more of a question mark over. I guess we need to hear a little bit more about the policies that will be pursued. We kind of have a broad understanding of the headline policies. A bit strange to see it price in such an aggressively positive reaction. Because it happened on Tuesday when we didn't know the outcome, you could argue a lot of this rally was probably probably more to do with the economy itself and these large cap performers really dragging prices higher, and this sort of euphoric buy everything rally yet again, just maybe having another leg to the upside. So we absolutely have a few question marks about this. So for most of yesterday, you'll probably be very familiar. That we had, you know, a bit of a question mark over buying these markets up at these higher levels. And we are at all-time highs for these markets. Our bias is very much still in favor for the dollar to make some progress. We were able to get into the euro dollar, the dollar yen, and I think it was the New Zealand dollar, wasn't it? Yeah. So we did make some progress yesterday on a bit of a breakout in favor of the dollar. We've now just sort of pulled back and we're looking a little bit more constructive, but our bias is still in favor of the dollar. A lot of what happened should, in our opinion, favor the dollar. Big question mark over crude oil. Now, got a lot of selling yesterday and that sort of pulled back very aggressively. Now we still have the potential to sell up at these higher prices, but commodities are a difficult animal. I would imagine they're showing signs of probably a little bit of uncertainty and exhaustion, maybe really with these market dynamics. So we do have a lot of uncertainty, and this is all going into the FOMC. Now, it's all about Jerome Powell and how he deals with this new sort of political dynamic in the US, which is going to be very, very inflationary. We anticipate it's going to be inflationary. So just got to be mindful of that. So we also have the BOE. I mean, we're expecting a 25 basis point rate cut, but with these sort of tariff dynamics pushing prices higher, how easy will it be for these central banks to actively cut rates to where they would like them to go? That could be really, again, quite inflationary. And if we start seeing those prices push higher, you know, these markets really have a lot to deal with. And we did some analysis yesterday. Probably 3 weeks ago, we're expecting that the probably a bit more than that, actually. What are we, November now, early November? Yeah, so we're talking about six, seven weeks ago. We were probably expecting central banks to bring these rates down to somewhere maybe 3-3.5%. Now it looks like as if the markets themselves are pricing in probably coming down to 4%. So there is a, when it comes to these governments to recycle its debt, when it matures and they need to roll it over, they'll now be doing so at significantly higher prices than they did when. So it just increases deficits. Then we have Elon Musk and Donald Trump saying we'll take $2 trillion off US debt. Now, the big question is, how in God's name are you going to do that if you have this backdrop, if you have to refinance debt, and only debt is only going to increase, and interest on that debt is only going to increase. So where are you going to cut the $2 trillion from? You can only do it in two ways. You either increase taxes rather than cut them, or you spend less, which is austerity. So either way, it's not going to be a popular dynamic. We've also heard about Elon Musk suggesting that the government cut a lot of fat, or a lot of employment in the public sector. But to do it over a slow process over a couple of years, it's not a wham bam, like what he did at X, which is just, I think he trimmed something like 40% of his workforce overnight. You can't take that approach to the US economy. But it means more not necessarily more unemployment. Plus, we have this AI narrative feeding through as well, which is going to replace workers. So, no matter how you dress this up, AI might improve the efficiencies necessary for people to work less. So yeah, these markets have so much to digest, and central banks have so much to digest. He's going to set the cat amongst the pigeons. He already has done. And it's going to be, again, just another fascinating 4 years. What it means for markets, I don't think anyone really fully knows. We're in this, we absolutely have a risk-on dynamic for Donald Trump in the equity markets, but we have a risk-off dynamic in the dollar and also bond yields. Gold, bit of a question mark over, but it's very likely to have a really significantly positive, or let's say hawkish, impact on interest rates. It's going to be really interesting to see how Jerome Powell deals with this new political environment. He's still got, I think, somewhere around year and a half. So Trump wins the election with expected clean sweep in the House and Senate. It looks like, still looks like that's the case. So dollar strength, bond yields continue to rally. They certainly do. Potential commodity weakness. Yes, really strong bit of selling in gold yesterday. The instincts would be weakness. Now, this actually presents potentially an opportunity to start buying gold. We were saying if prices could come back to those levels, would be worth looking at it, and that's where we're at. So we'll, from a trade plan perspective, we'll because you could argue, increasing uncertainty, which I think is an absolute minimum. You could really suggest, right, well, gold potentially looks more attractive at these lower levels. In terms of a trade plan, let's just say we want to keep options open just due to the general uncertainty, the general risk on, risk off dynamic, which is playing out at the same time. Okay. So let's just put the FOMC in there as well, just so that you're mindful of Trump victory, clean sweep in the House and the Senate, i.e. Republican majority, and the FOMC in terms of rate decisions and how hawkish that could potentially be. Even though we're getting a bit of a pullback, we've still got a strong conviction in favor of the dollar, believe it or not. Not seen anything that would really change that particular dynamic. Got a bit of a question mark over equity markets. So yeah, challenging dynamic, I think, is what we have. So that's our trade plan. We want to keep options open. We can have a look at gold. We can have a look at the indices just to see where they go from here. If they start turning risk off, would be worth looking at those. All right, then, guys. So listen, we'll let you go. That's what we're looking at. In terms of a summary, we've obviously got the markets trying to digest this Trump win across the board in the House of Representatives and in the Senate as well. And this is all a big problem for Jerome Powell. So how will these markets play out? Really difficult to come down. But we think it's probably a little bit more on the hawkish side. That's why we're just waiting to see what happens with these indices up at these highs. If they start to sell off, that could be an interesting trade that could be worth looking at. But for now, dollar higher, bond yields higher, and potentially weakness in commodity markets. But we want to keep those options open as well. All right. On that note, listen, we'll wrap it up there, guys. We'll switch rooms. We're running a little bit late, so we're going to switch over to the European Live Trading Mentorship Room. So hopefully you can join us for that. So from everyone here, take care and we'll speak to you soon. Thanks for joining us as always. And bye for now.